Jack Daniel's whiskey at 1.5. It's how the folks around here have been living their lives. Waking and baking every morning at 8. Make it to work, they're always late.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. Coming up in the next segment, Congressman are supposed to be joining us now, Congressman Gary Palmer on the line with us. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good. I was just about to text to say nobody was answering.
Well, it's good that we got you on. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. Congressman, I guess first off, before we really get into the discussion about Afghanistan, I want to ask you, do you see the jobs numbers this morning and that we really, the economy's missed a lot of expectations? And my feeling on that is that these so-called progressive policies are really, they really are starting to, we're starting to see tangible evidence that we, you know, conservatives have been right about this all these years, that they are starting to have an impact on the American economy. This is what you get when you initiate these big government policies into act.
Well, I think people are starting to realize that this is not about a Republican agenda. It's about an American agenda. And they're seeing it in the price of groceries. They're seeing it in the lack of certain things being available because the supply lines cut off. Or you're seeing it in energy costs, and I'm hoping that people's eyes are going to be opened and they realize that socialism is not exactly the way that they want to live their lives. It's going to be devastating. Jeff, I think you and I both know a lot of people that are lower income, middle income, that these price increases are really hurting.
Well, and I don't know what it, I guess in your congressional district is probably similar there as it is down here in the southwest part of Alabama, but it doesn't, you know, the economy seems to be growing, but you still go to a lot of businesses. They close early. They're unable to get employees. That all of this government stimulus dumped into the economy is still hampering the economy from getting back to being as fully functioning as it was pre-pandemic.
Well, they can't find anybody to work. And when you pay people not to work, guess what? They don't work. As you know, I chair the Republican Policy Committee. And back when they were paying $600 a week bonus, we did a breakdown to show what, when you add that $600 a week unemployment bonus to what the states paid, what people would be making in a, you know, per hour in the average 40-hour work week by not working. And in Alabama, it was over $21.80 an hour. There are 12 states that actually give an additional amount if you have dependents. And if you lived in Massachusetts and had a dependent, you could make $45.50 an hour by not working. I mean, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that. That's a pretty good way to go.
Do you fear this, that as the economy kind of slugs along here, it feels very sluggish, that is the Democrats, the progressives, the liberals in this country are going to double down on this notion that we need even more government involvement in the economy? And when I say that, you know, there's a lot going on politically. I think Joe Biden's very wounded politically because of Afghanistan, but still outstanding there are these spending bills in Congress, and that this is going to give Democrats that might have been reluctant to follow suit with the Biden administration and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer a license to say, well, we got to do something, and this is the answer to our problems.
I mean, just look at the $3.5 trillion package that they're trying to push through right now, Jeff. They call it human infrastructure, and what it is basically, again, taking over every aspect of the average American's life, pouring money into stuff, increasing our debt, despite the fact that in 10 years Medicare, the Hospital Insurance Trust Fund, will be $500 and something billion in red. If this $3.5 trillion passes, and you add to that the $1.2 trillion for the infrastructure, you're talking $68 trillion over the next 10 years. And I'm still waiting for them to give me a calculation on the interest payments on that, what that would be.
I guess the knee jerk though is the knee jerk politics of it. It does seem like that this is going to give a lot of Democrats license to do whatever they got to do. But let me ask you like this: with the Afghanistan situation and the polling indicates Biden is wounded, do you see a little from the Democrat side? Do you see a tougher climb for them to get a lot of that stuff passed, or those two spending packages passed?
Well, I hope so, because again, going back to that $3.5 trillion, it drops military funding to the lowest levels as a percentage of the economy in over 80 years. I repeat, in over 80 years, and there's a 0% increase for Homeland Security. And I think more and more Americans are starting to realize that not only is Afghanistan a disaster, but there's a disaster at the southern border. And people have got to wake up, Jeff, and they got to push back, and I think they are. I think people are starting to realize that the Biden administration's a disaster. And in regard to Afghanistan, the message that I've been trying to get out to our allies who are being undermined every minute by China is that don't be misled about who you can trust. You can still trust America. You just cannot trust the Biden administration. And this administration is going to come to an end.
Well, do you that's a big point. I think we talk a lot about Afghanistan and how bad that makes us look. The optics are bad, but the southern border may be getting missed here. That not only is that bad optics, but it's not getting a lot of attention. That poor southern border becomes a liability, and it's a liability that while we're all trying to figure out why we didn't get out of Afghanistan properly. That situation, southern border, doesn't appear to be going anywhere or getting any better.
I don't think my biggest concern about the southern border right now is we don't know who's coming across it. And in this mass chaotic evacuation of people from Afghanistan, and I don't want to scare people any more than anybody else, but we know of three people who were picked up, one of them in France, that identified themselves as people that needed to be evacuated from Afghanistan, that they're tied to ISIS. And with the border as wide open as it is, I just don't know who's coming across.
And I'm
afraid we're going to pay a big price for that, Jeff.
They don't seem to. There doesn't seem to be any. It is dismissed as right wingers scaremongering, or trying to make trying to score political points when you raise that issue. Is there any reason to think that the Biden administration is going to go? That there's any reason the Biden administration is going to say, "Hey, we're working on this," or we recognize the flaw here. They seem to be more focused on the perception, the optics, the media coverage, those things, rather than the actual problem.
Well, what they're trying to do is create distractions to keep people from being focused on these things, and I don't think they're concerned about the border. At least not the Biden administration. I do think that there's some Democrats that are becoming increasingly concerned about it, but I'm not sure that they're totally concerned about it because of what might happen with the amount of drugs or terrorists crossing the border. It's the politics. They had three elections in Texas, one for mayor, Fort Worth, Irving, and McAllen, Texas. I think Fort Worth is like 60-something percent Hispanic, and a Republican got elected mayor. Irving is 55% maybe, and I may have the numbers flip between Fort Worth, but it's a majority Hispanic population. They elected a Republican mayor. But in McAllen, it's 85% Hispanic, and they elected a Republican mayor. And I don't think we ought to be focused on the politics of this. I think we need to be focused on national security.
But what would hope the politics would drive a response from an administration saying, hey, the politics down here at the southern border aren't lending themselves to our cause? That because I think ideologically there's a lot on the left, a lot of people on the left that think this is going to win them elections in the future, and this is going to be a net positive to be have a lax border policy, but it is not. It is the politics are showing the opposite. There doesn't seem to be any kind of response to turn or change course on that.
Well, their response is the $3.5 trillion spending package, because buried in that bill, it gives amnesty to illegal immigrants, and that's part of that bill. Not only that, it eliminates right to work. I mean, that $3.5 trillion would be absolutely transformative of American culture if it were to pass.
Do you, given what we know today, what do you think the prospects are? I feel like it's still a little bit of a long shot, but I know there's a lot of time to go until they can say no, we're not going to do this, or yes, we're going to do it.
Well, it depends on the Senate. I mean, we're now. Literally, the future of the country is on the shoulders of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema in the Senate. We're starting markups on the bill in the House, even though they passed the bill, deemed it passed, through a rule vote week before last, or last week, actually. And I know the Natural Resources Committee is marking up their part of the bill. About $32 billion. It's less than 1% of the total amount. And my best friend in Congress is the top Republican on that committee, called me and said, they're already saying it's not enough money in natural resources. There's, I think, like 20-something revenue increases in there. And they call them revenue generators, but what they really are taxes that everybody's going to pay. And again, going back to people in my district and down in South Alabama, there are a lot of elderly people who are on fixed incomes. There are a lot of low-income people out there working as hard as they can every day to make ends meet. That all this is going to get passed on to them. And this idea that they're only going to raise taxes on people making over $400,000 a year, I suggest to them, just go to the gas pump and look at what you're paying for a gallon of gas today versus what you're paying this time last year. That might not be a tax, the way you define a tax, but it is a tax in the sense that of what people are having to pay, what's coming out of their pocket.
Joined by Congressman Gary Palmer of the 6th Congressional District here in Alabama. Congressman, let's backtrack a little bit, talk Afghanistan, now that we've had time to kind of get past the shock of the situation here, do you think it's as simple as this? Joe Biden sees September 11th coming up around the corner, and that he really wanted to have a "we're out of Afghanistan" kind of victory lap talking point moment. And you know, I know you probably don't pay as much attention as I do to the news media. They still seem to be kind of going along with it, that this is a time for celebration, not a time for disappointment, that we're finally out. And you know, wars are ugly when you lose them, and that's exactly what's going on here.
Well, right now is the time for funerals for 13 of them. And I don't see anything to celebrate in that. They're already killing people over there, and they're tracking down people. We gave them a list of people. They're tracking them down. They're executing them in their homes. and it's going to be American citizens. And the Pentagon, State Department, they're all lying to us. They tried to lie about how many people were injured in that bombing. They kept it as quiet as they could for as long as they could. But it's a disaster. We just gave up Afghanistan to China. Afghanistan has a rich deposit of rare earth materials. And do you know what percentage of rare earth materials we procure here in the United States ourselves, mine, refine, and manufacture? It's zero. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing here to celebrate. But there's certainly things to mourn, starting with 13 U.S. service men and women who basically died because of the incompetence and stupidity of the Biden administration.
And then last question, we'll get you out of here on this. You mentioned China, that you talk a lot about Mao's 100-year plan and how that's coming around. It's just like all these pieces are falling into place. Afghanistan, potentially a part of that Belt and Road initiative, part of that, the world dominance of China, where they see themselves when that, I guess, prophecy or whatever they think is going to be fulfilled is fulfilled.
Well, China is working 24/7 right now to undermine our allies' confidence in the United States. They're telling Taiwan that they basically need to capitulate to China and be treated like China's treated Hong Kong because they can't count on us. And it goes back to what I said earlier in this on the program. We need to be sending messages to our allies, at least those of us in the Republican Party, need to be telling our allies that you can trust America. You just can't trust the Biden administration, and to hold on. Just hang on. I think you're going to see a tsunami election in 22 and in 24 because I'm looking at some information I'm getting from some other places, and even among Democrats, they're shell-shocked at what this administration's doing. And, Jeff, we just got to try to hold on to get through this and get our country back on the right track.
Congressman, you're always a very gracious to come on and spend time with us. We appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.
Thanks for having me on, Jeff. I always appreciate it.
Congressman Gary Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.